Amen. Before you sit down, it's time to hear from God. I want you to talk to God. Lord, this is the time for me to listen to your word. God might have one single word for you. It might be a phrase. It might be a sentence. It might be a paragraph. Lord, when you speak this word, let my ear be attentive. In the mighty name of Jesus, continue to talk to God. Pray to God that this time around, any distraction, Father, distract them. When God distracts the distraction, they will never even come to you. Ask for the Spirit of God to keep you awake in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's put our hand together for Jesus. Please be seated. Hallelujah. I said the other time that we are still in the attitude of the Easter celebration. He's risen. The Lord God has risen and death have been defeated. Right? Amen. The celebration continues. Who is inviting me? Hallelujah. The celebration continues. What will come to your mind if suddenly someone begins to praise you? He just asks you, like, if I call Brother VP now, I started praising him. Brother, you are very good. You are nice. He will first think, what is going on? Suppose you get to the office. Your boss call you. Francis, come here. You are very hardworking. I've been looking at you. I think I appreciate what you are doing. And there is nothing. I will begin to think, what is going on? Right? I'll be wondering, what is going on here? So, if someone exceptionally begins to nice to you, you begin to think, what have I done? Is there any special thing I've done? You begin to examine yourself. See whatever you have done before. You begin to wonder what is going on. I can't help but wonder if Jesus' disciples felt the same way after he asked them to meet him somewhere. He said, go to somewhere and wait for me. Interestingly, the promise for this week is about waiting. He said, go to somewhere and wait for me. If the disciples had felt that same way in the account that we heard about in John 21, as Jesus prepared and ate breakfast with his disciples. Because if your boss suddenly call you and tell you, I want to take you out for lunch today, you'll be wondering what is going on, right? The same way maybe the disciples have felt that same way. In John 21. First, I want you to open your scripture, your Bible to John 21. We'll be reading from verse 1 to 17. Listen to this story very well. Listen to the record of John, the book of John 21, verse 1 to 17.
John 21, from verse 1 to 17. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, dragging the net with fish. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all the things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
Hallelujah. And that brings me to today's topic, which is Jesus' invitation for breakfast. What is this title? Jesus' invitation for breakfast. Next sister. Jesus' invitation to breakfast. If you are to choose between invitation for breakfast and lunch, many of you will prefer to go for the lunch because we enjoy sleeping in. Let's assume that I'm inviting you for a breakfast on Saturday morning. And I give you option. Sister, brother, do you like to attend breakfast or lunch? How many of you will prefer breakfast? Yes, a couple of people. But many people will choose to have the lunch because you want to sleep in. And that is why sometimes back when excellent men call for breakfast, some of you didn't come. Hallelujah. So for most people, sleeping in the morning during the weekend, that makes breakfast meeting not usually exciting for them. And when you ask them, you give them option, they will skip it because they want to sleep in. However, there is one invitation that I do not think many of you sitting down here would like to skip. And that is the kind of invitation in that scripture we just read. If you are invited, you will never skip that kind of invitation. Jesus' invitation to his disciple to eat breakfast with him before he will return to heaven. That is the kind of invitation that none of you will never reject. It is an important time for the disciples. And a time for them to remember that Lord Jesus Christ has shown himself to them again. Before I go further, let me just give you a little background. We move back to the John 20. When you read the book of John 20, it appears, I'm not saying, don't read now. When you get home, you can read. It appears that John has concluded that particular scripture that he was writing up, the epistle that he was writing, based on the whatever happened in John chapter 20. But again, he was inspired to tell us one more meeting with Jesus Christ. So, And that is, there are two appearances of Jesus Christ, and there is another appearance, which John later told us. The gospel writer, John, has briefly told us, yes, about two appearances Jesus made to his disciples after his resurrection. Now, he added another one to it, which is the third one. In John 21, verse 1, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. That's how it started. While the first two appearances of Jesus took place in the city of Jerusalem, the third appearance is at the Sea of Galilee, according to the verse 14 of that scripture we just read now. Okay? Let me take you back a little bit also. In Matthew 28, verse 10, Jesus has given instruction. Let's read, sister, Matthew 28:10.
Matthew 28:10. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Jesus has given instruction that they should go back and tell his brethren to go to Galilee. And there they have to wait for him, and they will see him. That is the instruction. And when we jump to verse 16 of that same Matthew 28, we got the confirmation that disciples left for Galilee. Right, sister? Matthew 28:16.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them.
So the instruction there was very clear. Go to Galilee and wait for him. He did not ask them to go and fish, as we have heard from that scripture. Remember? Isaiah said, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." He gave specific instruction, go and wait for him. So according to the record of John, the Last Supper is not the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples. There was also a last breakfast, if I should put it that way. There are seven disciples that are part of the fishing breakfast story. Seven were mentioned there. And if we go one by one, two are unnamed. Two of them were not named at all. The five that were named are Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the son of Zebedee, James and John. So, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, only seven disciples, which we can say they are experienced fishermen, actually went to Galilee. According to that Matthew, 11 of them went to that place. But seven is being identified by John in his record. And because they could not wait upon the Lord to renew their strength, after waiting for some time, what happened? Maybe they get tired, they decided to go back to their old career. But they failed. They failed miserably because Jesus was no longer with them. They failed because Jesus was not there with them. They failed because they could not wait. Wait upon the Lord. Renew your strength. You will never get tired. If you are running 100 kilometers per hour from here to airport, when you have waited upon the Lord, you will never get tired and you will never get weak. So, brethren, last week we had message here about the Easter. Even when the praise and worship team, when they were ministering here, some of us become emotional. But the moment we step out of this place, we forget about it. We have gone back to our old ways. Maybe the same thing the disciples have done. After waiting, the Bible didn't say how many days they have waited, but after waiting for some time, they decided to go back to their old way of life. For these seven disciples, they had no success at all because they were not to be a fisher of fish. They are to be what? Fisher of men. They could not wait. And that is why it was recorded, they caught nothing. But when Jesus appeared, their failure turned into success. Remember, they were fishing in the same water, not a different one. They were fishing in the same water. The presence of God made, the presence of Jesus make difference to them. And they were able to catch many fish. It means we cannot make it on our own unless we wait upon the Lord. When you wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. Amen? So on their return, these seven disciples, they were caught off guard because they were not expecting the visit of a rising Lord. They were not expecting. Jesus also was very smart. He said children. He called them children. But because of their experience with him, they were able to know that he is the one. Amen? So, the waiting was becoming too long. Let me expand that place. That is why Peter decided that, let me go for fishing. So, in this scripture, and when Peter decided that, when Peter made that decision that, I'm going for fishing, the other people, they follow. If you know the black soldier hunt, maybe, I don't know whether it's common everywhere, but in Africa it's very common. They are black. They will line one by one, and one single one is leading them. When that one misses his way, the rest will scatter. Wherever that one is going, they also go there. Peter took that decision. Maybe he's looking at it that he has us to meet him at Galilee and he's not coming. Okay, let me wipe away the time. Maybe they were depressed. I'm going for fishing. Before he could finish, others said, we are going with you. And they all left. But Jesus did not look at them that, I gave you instruction, wait here. Jesus still showed interest in them. He still showed that, yes, he cared for them by inviting them to breakfast. There are some takeaways from this scripture we have just read. Takeaway from this special breakfast that Jesus has invited his disciples, which is also inviting you as well. The first one, as you can see from the screen, is obedience brings blessing. When you obey, it brings blessing. Let's analyze verse 1 to 6. So Jesus has given them instruction to wait, but they have done otherwise. In verse 3, it confirmed that they all got into the boat that night for fishing. And what happened? They caught nothing. It was total failure. The problem is this. Jesus did not tell them to go and catch fish, but to catch men. But they have derailed. They have moved to a different direction. So in verse 4, at dawn, when Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples could not see who he was. Because they were not expecting him. They couldn't see who is that. Who was there? Maybe Jesus was waiting to show them that, yes, I asked you to go and wait. He wants to express his disappointment. That for how many days did I give you instruction to go and wait? They could not keep simple instruction. Brethren, are you keeping to that simple instruction? Are you doing that? It is very, very important. Keep to that instruction. And that is why the failure was very, very clear. It was very, very obvious in chapter 5. They didn't, sister, read chapter 5 of John 21. From the list, from the... Yeah. Yeah, chapter John, verse 5, sorry.
John 21, verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no.
The simple answer is no. So, what do you think they decided to do? They decided to find out what Jesus has to say. Because they have no answer. They still say no. In verse 6, Jesus gave instruction, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. There's something I want you to take note here. The cast the net. It's a command. He commanded them. And that command is coupled with promise. And they did not even doubt that. They didn't. Why? Because they already have experience. Jesus' mother told them, whatever he directs you to do, please do. The same thing here, when he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. They did not even doubt, and they do that immediately. So they learned that it pays to obey, and that obedience brings blessing. Brothers and sisters, if you have been unsuccessful with you working with the Lord, you need to retrace back your footstep. Are you waiting upon him as he has said? Are you ready to renew your strength as the promise for this month? You need to retrace your step back and find out where you cease in your obedience to God. Praise the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, sister.
1 Samuel 15:22. So Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.
One thing that the disciples have done is that they obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Jesus said, cast the net, and they have done that. The response was full obedience. They did not even ask questions. Maybe some of you will ask him, do you think we don't know what we are doing? This, we passed through here, we put our net, we didn't get anything. Now you are telling us to do it. Maybe some of us will doubt. But in this story, they did not doubt at all. Full obedience, simple obedience, they gave that full obedience to the Lord. And our response should be full obedience to his instruction. Whatever your mind is telling you, whatever Christ is telling you, whatever Jesus is ministering to you, whatever Holy Spirit is ministering to your mind, give full obedience. And God will continue to help us in Jesus' name. Quickly, they did the censor of the fish they have caught. Not entire fish, the big ones. How many? Who remember? 153 they have caught. So, obey is better than sacrifice. Each and every one of us need to remember that we are the only one that need full obedience. We are not the only one. Even Jesus, according to Hebrews 5:8, was subject to this master's, to his master's obedience as well. The verse says, even though he was his son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That is Hebrews 5:8. Another take home from the breakfast is follow Jesus without hesitation. Next slide, sister. Follow Jesus without hesitation. Next slide. And let's read verse 7 and 8, sister, quickly.
John 21:7-8. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, dragging the net with fish.
You know, the funniest thing here is that when John realized that it was Jesus Christ, he said, oh, it was Jesus Christ. And when he said that, Peter did not even wait for the next thing. What did he do? Remove his shirt and jump into the sea. Start swimming. Why do you think so? The event that has happened before. The last time when he identified Jesus Christ on the sea, what happened? He asked Jesus Christ, if you are the one, command. This time around, he was not waiting because he knows the Lord that he is serving. His action was different from previous encounter. The first encounter is Peter was waiting for Jesus' command, which I just mentioned. That story is in Matthew 14:28. But we are not going there now. We are not going to that story. And the second encounter was last time in John 18. He followed at a distance and denied him. He knew it was Jesus Christ. But because Jesus had been arrested, he was tiptoeing following him. He knew it was Jesus. This time around, immediately he heard it was Jesus. Remove his clothes and jump into the water. Joyfully, he has done that. He quickly aligned with Jesus Christ. He was not waiting to confirm whether he's the one or not. Brethren, when you see Jesus, quickly join him in what he's doing. Walk alongside with him. For those in experiencing class now, I'm sure maybe you have not reached there, but experiencing God in discipleship training. When you see God where he's at work, you join him. I believe when you get there, you will remember this message today. Amen? And for those of you, you see where Jesus is at work, please join him in his work. And God will continue to help us in Jesus' name. Because we are God's fellow worker, because God's field, in his field, many are expected. Many laborers are required. So, another take home from the breakfast is Jesus invites us into relationship. Next slide, sister. Jesus invites us into relationship. Notwithstanding to the disciple disobedience, Jesus has already made preparation for relationship. An important conversation happened during that breakfast. He desired to have very important conversation with Peter. And that conversation also is for me and you. We will come to that. He is ready for you. He's inviting you for the breakfast. Don't expect that you have to go to Aseba Beach. It might be at your home early in the morning. God really wants you to talk to him. He wants you to table that request before him. Celebrate him in your home. Enjoy yourself in your home. Have a breakfast and rejoice in Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at what happened when Jesus invites his disciple. First, there is preparation of fire of coal. This is not something you find, okay, because of modernization, sometimes if you go to beach, you can see some old charcoal there. But those ones are being brought there by some people also. In this case, Jesus Christ has prepared. He has prepared fire of charcoal for that purpose. He has intention for this. His intention for this is relationship with his disciples. He wants to have relationship with them. Before you can have relationship with God, it requires you walk along with him. And Jesus knows that for me to establish a relationship with my disciple, he needs to do what? He needs to get his hand dirty. For those of you who are at the church outing, for those at the kitchen, their hand get dirty because they are dealing with charcoal. Jesus was not looking at the white garment that he's putting on. He gets his hand dirty because he wants to have relationship with his disciple and you. And I'm sure Peter will remember his experience last time when he neared that coat of fire. How many of us remember his experience? In John 18:18, sister, read.
John 18:18. Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself.
Now, when Peter was looking at the fire of coal that Jesus Christ has made, what do you think will come to his mind? He will remember that time. He will remember. This was a coal of fire where Peter denied Jesus Christ the third time and the final time. And now it's another coal of fire that the relationship will be repaired. Can you see? It's another code of fire. He denied him in the code of fire. Now another code of fire, the relationship is being amended, is being repaired. Fish and bread. Not just only fire was provided for warm, but he also provided breakfast for them. There are fish and bread awaiting them at the shore, that for which they have labored all night long, Jesus has already prepared for them. He supplies what they need and what they lack. Who told you that same thing cannot happen in your life? Jesus Christ is ready to supply you. For what are you struggling with? What are you striving with? If you align yourself, if you can wait upon the Lord to renew your strength, he will provide it in Jesus' name. Verse 10, sister, of John 21, verse 10.
John 21, verse 10. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught."
Can you read verse 9 first? Verse 9 of that same scripture.
John 29, verse 9. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread.
Now, this is what I want to bring out there. It's not from the fish they caught. There were fish there already. He just wants them to add more. Because maybe, I think one time SLM was putting picture of one of our dinner. How many of you remember I hold two plates? I think Brother Sam deliberately put that picture. I held two plates. Maybe some of them might want to hold two plates. And Jesus remembered that, yes, we need to add more fish. He has the power to make sure to multiply the fish. But he wants them to enjoy the labor of their hands. That's why he said, bring more fish. That's what he said in verse 10. He invites us as well. He's inviting you. Maybe not to the fish and the coal. Bring what you have. Whatever you have, Jesus is inviting you to bring it. He will make use of it and will multiply for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's inviting you into a relationship. Verse 11, sister.
John 21, verse 11. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 130.
Again, thank you, sister. Why is Peter so concerned here? Because he has betrayed him. I need to make sure I tell him that I love this man. I love the Lord. Before Jesus will say it, he has gone there, start pulling. When Jesus is in need, he could not break it. He could not pull it. He was pulling, and the net did not break. Why? Because Jesus is in it. When Jesus is in your life, that area of your life, you are thinking that if you stretch it too much, that principle of elasticity, it will get stretched beyond the elastic limit. But when Jesus is in it, you will never get beyond the elastic limit. Stretch it from here from door to door, you will return back to original. Because Jesus is in it. May God continue to touch us in the mighty name of Jesus. So Jesus gave them an invitation. Come and eat breakfast. They might be thinking, that's verse 12. They might be thinking, oh, what are you going to eat when we get back? But Jesus already prepared and invited them. Come and eat breakfast. Jesus is inviting you as well to fellowship with him. He's inviting you today. Are you ready to join him? Jesus is waiting. He's waiting for you. As he said in Revelation 3:20, the book of Revelation 3:20.
Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and
he's
opens
knocking.
The door.
He's knocking. And he said, if anyone hear what? Sister, read on.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me.
He's ready to dine with you. Dine and wine with you. He's knocking. Are you ready to open your heart for him? If you open his voice, if you open your heart, the door of your heart to him, he's ready to come in and dine with you. This breakfast that the disciple had with Jesus Christ was very awesome. And they, because they are the guests of honor, Jesus wants to make you as guests of honor as well. I wondered what their conversation will be during the breakfast. I think we have a little perception about that, what the conversation looked like. Let's read that verse 12 in full, sister.
John 21, verse 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord.
That means none of them could query him. Not even Thomas again. Not even him asking, "Show me what? Your hand." I'm sure they are very quiet because they were not expecting him. None of the disciples bothered to ask him, "Who are you?" because they already know who he is. No doubt, they are not doubting this time around. John knew it was Jesus when he heard his voice. Peter knew it was Jesus because John told him. Now, they are all aware. Like I said, even Thomas did not doubt him. They knew that it was Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you look at verse 13 to 14, Jesus served them again. He served them the breakfast and as the host. And John, in his write-up, reminds us that this is the third time he has appeared to some portion of the disciples, at least to this group. It's also a great reminder that he is real. He's not a ghost to them. And after that, after they have eaten, Jesus addressed Peter. Then let's look into the address of Jesus to Peter. Verse 15, sister.
John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs."
Now the question is that he said, "Do you love me more than this?" More than what? Who knows? He just said more than this. More than the fish and fishing. Because he just came back. Jesus is asking him, "Do you like me more than the fish and fishing?" He said, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." And he said, "Peter, feed my lambs." Next slide, sister. Okay, that's okay. And this lamb, these are young believers that you and me are being asked to feed. Feed my lamb, the young believers. Feed my lambs. The same instruction is being given to you now. Maybe you have spoken to somebody in your office and he has accepted Jesus Christ. Don't abandon him. Keep praying for him. Keep directing him. Keep guiding him or her. Verse 16, sister.
John 21, verse 16. He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep."
Again, "Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Peter, tend my lamb." What does it mean? Next slide, sister. Next slide. What does that mean? Take care of my sheep. Yes. Take care of my sheep. Tend my sheep, take care. That is, give pastoral care. Rendering the care or care for the soul. One thing for you is to preach to somebody that he has accepted. You don't leave him halfway. You need to feed him. You have to take him to the green pasture. Jesus is telling you the same thing today. Tend my sheep. That is, take care of his sheep, which include emotional, social, and spiritual support. Give to those young lambs. Give to the sheep. Let's jump to verse 17, sister.
John 21, verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep.
Okay, now, this third time, he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He even confirmed Jesus Christ knows all things. What he's trying to say there is that you know that I love you because you know everything. Why? Because he will remember that Jesus told him, you are going to deny me. So how will you, if you can know that ahead, you should also know this. Right? You should also know this. You know all things. You know I love you. Peter, feed my sheep. And what does this mean? Next slide, sister. Give spiritual food. Give spiritual food. The spirit food, discipleship. And that's exactly what TBLF is doing right now. We are giving spiritual food for those that have registered. Discipleship training is ongoing. We are giving to them. Whosoever we are giving, we also give to the young lambs, to the young believers. Feed my sheep. Give spiritual food to the sheep. So the breakfast is not just for fun, but have given each and every one of us beautiful job description. In those addresses to Peter, it's a job description for each and every one of us. To shepherd, it's not just the pastor alone that we do that. It's the duty of everyone. We have to feed the lamb, we have to take care of the lamb, and we have to feed the sheep. Jesus is saying to you today, if you love me, you will take care what I care about. Jesus cares about his sheep. He cares about the lambs, the young believers. We need to take care of them. We need to take care of them. We need to maintain them. We need to take them to the green pasture where they will be fed with spiritual food that they will not be able to go back. Feed my lamb. As I begin to round up, before this, there's a link which I actually put together here. Do you notice that Peter's reaction in verse 17? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him three times. He asked him three times. Can we read that again, sister? 17, verse 17.
John 21, verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep.
Now, this is what I want to bring out from there. Three times is what I want you to hold on to there. For three times, Peter denied who? Who? Jesus. And now those three denials have been replaced with three affirmations. Right? Jesus will forgive you. He's ready to use you. Jesus believes in you. When you look at that scenario that has happened, Jesus told Peter, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep three times. And Peter denied Jesus Christ three times. And those denials have been replaced with three affirmations. Perhaps you also, you are denying him. Jesus loves you. He wants you to come back to him. He's ready to forgive you. Jesus wants to break into the normal routine of your life. And you also can have breakfast with the rising Lord. He left the Holy Spirit with us. He left the Holy Spirit with us. What is the purpose of this? To guide and to guide us, to give us peace and to draw us closer to him, and for you also to bring the lost sheep, and not just bringing them, to take care of them, to feed them and to maintain them. Jesus' invitation to breakfast is for everyone. He is waiting at the shore for you and me. Brothers and sisters, no matter how far you have drifted away, no matter how far you have moved away from me, from him, he is inviting you. He's ready to give you that warm breakfast. He's always at the shore waiting for you. Will you accept Jesus Christ today? Will you accept his invitation? Will you obey? Will you follow him? Jesus wants to have breakfast with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to dine with you. He wants to wine with you. He wants to sleep and live with you. He wants your heart to be open. Are you ready to accept the invitation that Jesus Christ is giving? Are you ready to open up for him? Are you ready to forget those past things that you might be thinking will be hurting you? He is waiting at the shore. Last slide, sister. The last slide. For God so loved the world, he has given us his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish. Jesus loves you. He's inviting you to breakfast. May God bless you.
Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. What you and I have just taken part of is the assurance of Christ's resurrection. Amen. The disciples, when they saw him, we read in verse 12 of John 21, they knew that it was the Lord. You and I have the resurrection assurance through this communion that we have taken. And therefore, if we have failed in tarrying in Galilee, just as the disciples had failed to tarry in Galilee, today God has given you and me new strength. Amen. New strength so that you will tarry in Jerusalem. Amen. So that you and I would be witnesses of his mighty works in and through us. And that is what this new strength we have gained from this table. Let's thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, O Lord God, for having given us bread from above in Christ Jesus, and through your word today, O Lord God, through your Son. Father, we bless you for the living word that you have given us. Lord, as we have partaken of your elements today, Lord, help us. Help us to be endued with power from on high, that we would do what you have purposed us to do. To feed the lambs, to tend the sheep, and to feed the sheep of your pasture. Father, we bless you for this strength once again. Lord, help us to witness you, witness your resurrection power in us and to the world through us, in the name of Jesus. Help us to live lives that show and glorify Christ in me, the hope of glory. We thank you once again for this time that you have given us, O Lord God. Father, let your presence continue to be with us as we go about this coming week in the name of Jesus. Till we come again into your presence, O Lord God, as a church together, Lord, be with us and lead us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, we thank you for your son that you have used. Lord, replenish him today, O Lord God. Replenish him with a double portion in Jesus' name. That which he has emptied here, Lord, you are God to refill him. Father, refill him in Jesus' name. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Let's share the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Go in the strength of the Lord. Amen.